and then 2 Corinthians 4:1. And the two verses I want to insert in there are from Mark chapter 4 and then from John chapter 15. These, as we were worshiping God, just God put those two verses, Mark and John, in my heart. So I want to slip them into the what He has for me to share with you today. So having said that, let's pray. God, we love You. We worship You. We praise You. We can't thank You enough. Just can't thank You enough. And Father, something I know very well is that in and of myself, I am not sufficient. You know, if I just try to do this on my own, it's going to be flat. But Father, I also understand this, that You have given a sufficiency. You have given an ability, a grace to each and every one of us to be sufficient, to be able to do Your will, to be able to live a life that lets Your love flow through and to bring glory to You. So I just thank You for that ability right now, Father. We give You the praise, the honor, and the glory, and I thank You that You get done what You want to get done in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So go ahead and find 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And for those of you that were here last week, you'll remember that we spent some time on these verses, and we'll probably spend some time here again this morning on these verses. And it's good. How many of you know it's good to be reminded of things? I shared this at Wednesday night and men's prayer breakfast, but Rick Wilson was teaching on a Wednesday, it was probably a year and a half ago, and he opened up to a book of scripture. That's a funny way to say that. None of you caught it, I did. Scripture in the book of Isaiah, and it was a passage that I had not read in a long time. Months, probably over a year, I hadn't read that verse of scripture. And when Rick shared it that night, I just went, oh, wow, man, I haven't thought about that. That hasn't ran through my mind. It hasn't ran through my heart. And it was just, thank you, Rick. Thank you for sharing with me a very familiar scripture that I just hadn't thought about in a while. And in men's prayer breakfast, we're in Peter, where he's talking about reminding us and reminding us. How many of you know that there's stuff you already know, but you need reminded? Amen. Amen? I know when our children were little and we would go over to somebody's house or when we would go to a restaurant, we would like them to conduct themselves with manners and politeness. And when you have five children, and let me get this right, four of them, there's 5 years between the four of them. How many of you know that can be a lot? And people still invited us over for dinner. Wow. You know, but that can be a lot, having those kids. And it always made a huge difference if we would just remind them of how to conduct themselves in the restaurant or in people's homes. They did so much better. And every once in a while, Diane and I would forget to do that. And then we'd be sitting there. And my thing, I can't do it with my right hand anymore. It doesn't click like it used to. And the right hand was a lot louder. And my children, if they heard that, they just looked and went, uh-oh, not sure what I did, but whatever I just did, it needs to be coming to a halt. And we'd make eye contact and I'd let them know, you know. How many of you never want to embarrass your children in front of people? You don't want to do that. But sometimes you want to get their attention. Amen? That was my single, and it worked. So, but it was always better if I would just give them those reminders. Amen? So we looked at these verses of Scripture last week, and for some it'll be a reminder, but it's good. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It's many, many times my prayer at the beginning of a sermon. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. How many of us can go, yeah, I can identify with that. I am not sufficient of myself. I'm just not. I knew that before I was a Christian. Nobody had to tell me about all the stuff that I messed up in and all the things that I did wrong. And I knew that really well. I didn't need somebody to keep reminding me of that and telling me that stuff. What I needed was help figuring out how not to continue to do that. How to not continue to be that. And that's what I'm so thankful to God and Jesus for, because he doesn't sit there and condemn and beat up. He actually shows how to live a life of victory out of Christ, from what he's given. So, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Amen. Will you just do me a favor, do God a favor, do yourself a favor? Grab a hold of that even more and more and more and deeper and deeper and deeper and let it sink down on the inside of you. I have a sufficiency from God. Every one of us in here has a sufficiency from God. And I often talk about two sides of the coin. How many of you know every coin has two sides? And let me ask a question. Is one side of the coin more important than the other side of the coin? No. Both sides of that coin are necessary. And this is just one of those classic examples of two sides of the coin that are true at the same exact time. One side of that coin says, Joel, in and of yourself, you have nothing. You're not sufficient. But the other side of that coin says, you have a sufficiency from God. That is true. And I live and walk in both of those at the exact same time. Amen? And both statements are absolutely true. Both statements are absolutely true. And that keeps, I don't know about for you all, but that keeps me balanced. That'll help keep me humble, but confident at the same time. Do you ever wrestle with that, trying to balance that, being humble and confident at the same time? Well, here's how I do it. In and of myself, I'm insufficient. But in him, I'm sufficient. In him, I can get up in front of people and stand and share and speak and talk. There's a confidence there. There's an assurance there. It's because of him, not because of me. Does that help? Does that make sense? And just so that's both sides of that coin. Next verse of Scripture. Verse 6. Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Just the first part again. Who also made us sufficient as ministers. Well, that's just written for people who stand behind the pulpit. Somebody go, no way, no way. How many of you know that verse of Scripture is also written for you? How many of you in here know that you have a ministry? You have something to share. God works through you to give to other people. Michelle, who came up to you and spoke to you today? Who? Lynn. Amen. Lynn, you just, God put something in your heart for Michelle? Amen. Ministered to her? Every one of us in here has a ministry, and they all look different. They all work in different ways, but every one of us in here has a minister. This is not just written for people that stand behind pulpits. This is written for every member in the body of Christ. Every one of us have a ministry, and they're all unique and they're all different, but we all have one. For too long, people have thought, well, it's just the minister who has ministry to do. No. It's all of us. It's all of us, amen? And so turn and look at somebody and say, I am sufficient for the ministry God has for me. Anybody in here having a hard time saying that? Okay, I might camp here for a while. Guess who does not want you to know that you are sufficient and that you have a ministry? The enemy. Satan doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to walk in that. Because he knows when you walk in that ministry and you walk in that sufficiency that you have from Christ, you will take light into his domain. You will speak truth to the lies of the enemy and people get set free. So he doesn't want you to accept and grab a hold of the fact that you're sufficient in Christ. You're sufficient to do the ministry that he's called you to do. Now, is there room for growth? Amen. Amen. But we have this from Christ, and it's vital. I remember, here's a reason I never finish sermons. But I remember I shared this at men's group yesterday, but I remember when Maxine Woods died. And I loved how she lived her life. Her husband had passed away a number of years before. They owned a ranch up in the outside the northern hills, up around the Phillip area. And she was out working the ranch. I don't know how old Maxine was. It's one of those things I better not even guess. But she's out working the ranch, taking care of the cattle, driving back and forth, gravel roads, all of that. And one night during a blizzard, she was going back and forth and hit some snow and flipped the truck and died. She died with her boots on. She was living life the way she wanted to live life. And when we did the funeral, Lance Luchens was such a good friend of theirs. Just, you know, he grew up and they were friends. So they wanted him to speak at the funeral along with myself. And Lance went first. And he took about 10 minutes and shared the gospel message so beautifully, so simply, so sweetly. Now, Lance is a basketball coach and a dad and a husband and a teacher, but he's not a preacher. But he had a ministry. And he did his part, and then I came along and did my part. And then we were talking with each other, and someone came up and said, "Man, did you two talk to each other? Did you plan that out? Because boy, it sure complimented each other." And I just said, "No, we work for the same fellow. You know, we both have the same boss." But here's what was so cool, and this is why it was so important. People expect the preacher to say and do certain things. You know, because that's what I get paid to do. I hope you catch the humor in that. I would do this even if I didn't get paid. I don't do this to get paid. I get paid because I do it. It's a big difference between the two. But people have that expectations of ministers. They're just doing it because it's their job. But Lance was able to catch people's attention as a saint living the life that God had for him to live, as somebody stepping into the ministry that God had for him to step into. And they actually received better. They didn't have preconceived ideas. Does that make sense to you? I'll say, so what happens when you step out and you share? Did you know there are times when you share and you say things that it'll have more weight than a preacher? Amen? Turn and look at somebody and say, "Man, I matter." It's getting quiet in here. How many of you know I don't always do well with quiet? Have you ever noticed that about me? All right. Just going to read verse 6 again. "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter that kills, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." We're going to get back to that next Sunday. Now, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. These first three verses are just an exhortation, just an encouragement. To grab a hold of what God has done for us and who we are in Christ Jesus and what we have in Him. Can I ask a question? An honest and sincere question. How many people in here have ever hesitated to step out in what you thought God was putting in your heart to do? Can I have a show of hands, please? Okay. Now I want to ask another question. And be honest, why? Why did you hesitate? Okay, just kind of, someone said fear. Didn't want to be wrong. Rejection. Want to make sure the timing was right. I don't, elaborate more, Ernie. Right, right. But why didn't you do it? So, unqualified. Not quite sure I was the one to be doing it. Would that work for anybody? Could that be a reason? Okay, how many of you could raise a hand and say, you know, and I know this isn't true all the time. But it is true sometimes, most of us. How many of us can raise a hand and say, I didn't step out and do what I knew God had on my heart because I just wasn't sure about me. I wasn't confident. I didn't know if I was capable. Can I have a show of hands again? Okay, keep them up, please. Look around. Look around, folks. Look around. This is really important. Look around. Look around. How many hands are up in here? Can we say almost 100%? And we might think the thing that God wanted us to do wasn't that important and that it really didn't matter. But can I share with you, it did. It mattered and it was important. I remember I was down at Rushville. And I like to pray with the lights out. I like to pray where it's dark because I'm so easily distracted by stuff. You know, I'm the pinball in the pinball machine. Bing, bing. I'm just bouncing all over the place. What are some of those technical terms for it? Hyper. Well. Anyway, actually, I'm good the way I am. I'm a hunter. I'm just aware of my environment. I am. I'm just a good hunter. I'm a good driver. You know, I'm a hunter. It's not a bad thing. I'm not a farmer. I married a farmer's daughter, but I'm not a farmer. Anyway, never mind. So I have to turn the lights out. And I taught a message that was solid on a Sunday, but it challenged people. And it's Monday, and I'm praying, and the phone rings, and somebody from the church lets me have it. Up one side and down the other. Took them about a minute and 30 seconds. But boy, did I get it. How terrible I was. What a bad message that was. And they just let me have it. And it was one of those, thank you very much. You know, when we got to the end of our conversation, I didn't know how to respond or what. They just said the whole message, everything was totally wrong, and what a failure I was. Well, I hung the phone up and, whoa, God, you know, went back to prayer. And I don't think I'd been a Christian or a minister more than a year here. And so I went back to prayer and prayed for about 3-4 minutes, and the phone rings again. And this time it's a gal from the church that I minister in on Sunday nights. And she just says, Pastor, I can't tell you what a blessing you are. I can't tell you how encouraging it is to get to hear the word and to grow. And I preach the same message in both places. You have any idea how much her phone call meant to me? I wonder if she knew how important it was. Oh, she probably didn't know, but I did share with her. I shared with her how much it meant and how important it is. Okay, how many? What if we all just, from this point on, can keep our hand down when we ask the question, did I step out and share and do what God put on my heart? How much light and life is going to shine in darkness? You think that'd make any difference? You think that would have any impact? That would be a benefit of spreading the gospel? Amen. Now, here's another thing I know. How many in here have overridden those hesitations, those doubts, those worries, those wonderments, and went and stepped out anyway? Can I have a show of hands? Please, please, I need a show of hands, okay? Because you know what I'm guessing? There's as many hands that would go up this time as the last time. It's not like we've never stepped out. It's not like we've never done. But just the encouragement to step out more and more and more. I liked what David said. You know, God's been dropping words in his heart. He even got a person's name one night at work. At work, not in church, but at work, he got a person's name, and he's in the store where they're working. And is your name so and so? Yeah. How'd you know? Well, God gave it to me, and then God gave him a couple of more words, if you will, into that person's life. Neither he nor the lady with him were Christians, but about 4 minutes later, they're both born again. Just by taking that risk and stepping out. Oh, they went out of there happy. What a difference. Amen. Everyone's got a ministry. Not just people who stand behind the pulpit. All right. Colossians. Chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Qualified. Everybody say qualified. Turn and look at somebody and say, I've been qualified. Now with confidence. Turn and look at somebody again with confidence and with boldness and say, I've been qualified. Now, either you've been qualified or the Bible's wrong. Which one is it? Amen. Say that again. I've been qualified. Wrestling with it, huh? Turn and look at somebody and say, you've been qualified. Oh, come on now, come on now, come on now. Because guess who's hiding in the dark? Guess who's hiding in the shadow? The enemy's hiding in the shadow whispering, no, not you. It worked for everybody but you. What if I need to be the person who comes in so bold and so strong and said, you've been qualified. And don't you dare listen to the lies. What if I need to be the person that holds on to that truth with her and for her and keeps the enemy at bay? I need to be bold in telling people you're qualified. And to stick with it and stick with it and stick with it until that person, yes, you're right, I am. And did you know that's not pride and that's not arrogance and that's not conceit? That's truth. Amen. Sometimes we're so afraid of pride that we're going to get proudful, that we don't even walk in confidence. We don't even walk in the truth. Did you know the truth will build you up? The truth will build you up. It doesn't tear you down. It builds you up. It builds us up. It builds us up in who we are in Christ and what we can do. And you know what you can do, don't you? You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. That's what you can do. Giving thanks to the Father who someday, maybe if we're good enough, might qualify us. Anybody got a Bible that reads like that? No, how does yours read? Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to do what? Be partakers. To be partakers. Man, I'm going to be a partaker. I'm going to be a partaker. We got any other partakers in here? I'm going to partake of what God has for me. When you get in water, how do you get in? Like a lake or a swimming pool? How do you get in? How many cannonballers do we have? Can I see a show of hands? How many of you just run and... How many toe dippers do we got? You know what? I don't care if you're a cannonballer or a toe dipper. Oh, aren't you glad you came to church today to hear all these spiritual terms? What'd you learn in church about toe dipping? You know what? I don't care how we get in the water, as long as we get in the water. And God's made us all different. So if you're one of those that, and then you sit down and you dangle the feet for a while, and great, just keep going. Amen. And if you're a cannonballer, don't jump on somebody. Don't land on them, you know. Yeah, you might splash over on a few other people that didn't really want. You might splash water on them toe dippers. You know, be mindful of the people around you. Don't make people be like you. Because we're all different and we're all unique. But I'm going to be a partaker. I'm going to be a partaker of the things of God. I'm getting in. Whether I just jump in all at once or, you know, I'm getting in. I'm getting in. Qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. Praise God. Praise God. I'm a partaker. Go ahead and say that. I'm a partaker. I'm partaking. All right. Mark. Go with me, if you would, please, to Mark chapter 4. These are the two that I'm slipping in there, and they're actually going to be the end of the message. I'm not going to keep going. Anybody getting anything today?
Amen.
Just grabbing a hold of something today? Mark chapter 5. No, not 5. Mark chapter 4. At least I didn't get us really lost. Mark 4 and then John 15. Close with these two verses of Scripture. Okay. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just going to read these verses really fast. I go to them all the time, have for years. Mark chapter 4, start reading at verse 13. First ones are going to be real fast. For he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable?" If you were to back up into the chapter, you can read the parable that Jesus spoke to them. And they were scratching their heads. They didn't understand it. And he said that to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word." Okay, just bear with me here. The sower sows the word. Well, a sower sows seed on the ground, right? So the scripture says here, the sower sows the word. Let me ask this question. How many sowers do we have in here? Every one of us is a sower, amen? Every father is a sower. Sowing word into their wife, sowing word into their children. Every wife is a sower, sowing word into her husband. All I had to do is have that thought run through my head about a word Diana spoke to me over 30 years ago. And this is what it does to me. Because it was full of life. It still impacts me like this. Over 30 years later, she's a sower of the word and she sowed a word into my life. And I'm still enjoying the life and the fruit of that word.
Amen.
Wow. Can you imagine that? Fruit on a tree is only going to last for a little bit of time. But fruit from the word can last a lifetime. So we sow seed. We sow the word in our own heart, and we sow the word in the hearts of people around us. Okay? We sow that word. We're all sowers. Not just the pastor. The sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word was sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. I wonder if we need to stay in there. See, I've never had this thought before. How many of you know God's given me thoughts right now for us? I wonder if any of us know somebody and their life has just been, it didn't even start out good. I'm thinking about a particular friend whose life didn't start out good. There was no God in this friend's life. There was no God in the family. In fact, there was a lot of evil. There was a lot of abuse. There was a lot of wickedness. There was never anything really put in this person to have much of a root system. Wonder how important it is sometimes for others of us to stay there with them and keep sowing word and sowing word and keep loving on them and keep being there with them and keep watering them and keep caring about them and stick with them so that that root can grow. I wonder if we ever get to help other people so they can get a root system that goes down into the things of God and into the Word of God. You know what the answer to that is? Yes. Yes. And here's how it works. Somebody lied to a child when they were growing up. And they told them how worthless they were. And they told them how no good they were. And they told them how they'd never amount to anything. And that child, how many of you know, there's a lot of these people I'm describing right now.
Amen.
In the body of Christ. And they heard that. And what happened to them on the inside is they got hard. They got hurt. They got beat up. And the only way they could find protection was to keep stuff out. To keep people out. To just keep stuff out. Never let anybody get too close. And we could say this, they got hard-hearted. You know what we need to do? We need to help till the soil in that person's life. We need to break up that hardness that got put there from words and things that were done and spoken to that person when they were younger. And just soften the ground. Just love on them enough. Just stay in there and stick with them. Amen. How many of you know sometimes you just got to stick with somebody? You just got to stick with them. One of my mother's greatest traits. She would never give up on the underdog. How many of us would be like that? Never give up on the underdog. Never give up because somebody doesn't have their act all together in 6 months or a year. I think about what my mother put up with in my brother Cass. We had to move on. It was just... You know, not everybody was like me. Yeah, right. Okay, Joel, keep going. I got a couple more. We're still doing all right. Okay. These likewise are one stone on stony ground. Where they hear, isn't the word of God amazing? Now I'm blown away right now. I'm shocked. I've never thought of that. What I just preached for the last 3-4 minutes, it's never ran through my brain before. But you know what? God wanted us to hear it today. So we put it in my heart. Now, maybe some of you in here have heard that, you know, in connection with this verse of Scripture. How many have? Some have. Some haven't. Isn't it cool that you can come to church and get a nice hot meal? You know, maybe this is, we're having chicken tonight, but boy, it's cooked different. Because we've read this Scripture so many times. All right. These likewise, one sown on stony ground, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arise, for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Did I say I was going to read these fast? I guess God had a different idea. Now these are the ones sown on among the thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, desires of other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes what? Unfruitful. 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 How many of us want to be fruitful? Okay? We want to be fruitful. And you got the picture here? The seed, the word of God, gets sown into our heart. We grab a hold of it. We hear it. We keep taking it in. We meditate on it. We say it over and over. We speak it to ourselves. We speak it to our friends. We declare that this is what God's word says about me. So that is who I am. I am qualified. I am sufficient. What am I doing? I'm putting word, seed in my heart. And I keep watering it. I keep speaking it. Why? So that roots can go down. And so that a plant can grow up. And fruit can be produced. And then what does that fruit do? That fruit feeds other people. I really do. I need to write that book, My Life as a Tree, because this is so important to me. But this is what we're all supposed to do. You know, sure, do I get to eat some of the fruit that I produce in my life? Absolutely. But I don't just grow fruit and produce fruit for me. It's for other people. Amen. All right. Now, need another verse here. Verse 20. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. How many of us are bound and determined, I'm going to grow some fruit? I'm going to bear some fruit. There's going to be fruit growing out of me. Well, get the word put in you. You know, hang around with people who will speak the word to you. Hang around with people who will tell you the truth. Hang around good places, amen. Hang around places where you get built up, where you get encouraged. Turn and look at somebody and say, yeah. Amen. All right. Now, if you will, please, just jump over to verse 26. I love this here. Same chapter. And he said, the kingdom of God is if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now, what are we talking about here? What did that start out with? The kingdom of God. Everybody say kingdom of God. Because see, in these next couple of verses, we're going to be talking about the fruit of the kingdom of God. What do you think the fruit of the kingdom of God is like? Good. Yeah, I like that answer. What might be some of the fruit of the kingdom of God? Love. Mm-hmm. Yep. What are some others? Compassion. Forgiveness. Did someone say healing? Yeah. That's all fruit of the kingdom of God. Brian, where's Brian Beam at? Brian, what burns in your heart? What burns in your heart? I could think of two words I would use to describe it. You want me to just use them or you use it? I'll throw them out there. You tell me if I'm right. One, love. Two, salvation. Getting people to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Burns in your heart. People getting saved. You can't get away from it, can you? No, it's just there. It's inside. You want to know why? Because Brian planted seed. He worked with the Holy Ghost. Worked with the Word of God. Now he's got this living on the inside of him. It is actually a part of who he is. What are some other things? Because Brian's not the only one. What are some other things that some of you have that are a part of who you are? Lisa, mercy. Mercy. Service. Help me out here. Some of you guys start raising your hand. What's inside of you? What burns in you? What is it that you can't get away from? It's, huh? Prayer. It burns in your heart. Probably you read scriptures and you see prayer. Somebody else. Come on. Lots of us. Anybody worship? Any people in here got worship burn on the inside of you? For me, there's a couple of things. There's a whole lot of things. Family. Church family. Family. That burns inside of me. Seeing people grow in the truth of God's word. And that's I can't get away from it. All right. Verse 26. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day. Oh, I want to jump to verse 30. Excuse me. Verse 30. And he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like the mustard seed, which when it is sown in the ground is smaller than all the seeds on the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up, becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. What are we talking about? The kingdom of God. I hope I can paint this picture. I don't think we're going to go to John. I'm not going to go to John. But Ron, can I use you as an example? I'm up here. This is an on-the-spot illustration. Okay? Come on. I just kind of sit down right on that bottom seat and get as small as you can be. Okay? Ron, he became a Christian. Young, little bitty, became a Christian. But then the seed, God's word, started getting planted on the inside of him. He started putting himself in good places. He started getting to where he could hear the word. He started putting good people around him who would speak life to him. And what happened, Ron? What started to grow. He got a little bigger. Yeah. Amen. He got a little bigger. Got a little bigger. And then what happened? He kept growing. He kept growing. He kept growing. He kept growing. Amen. Amen. Keep growing. Keep growing. He kept growing. And he kept shooting out branches. He kept shooting out branches. Ron and Jen, and Jen would say it's mostly Ron, but I think they're a team, would say, Ron is fantastic at inviting people to church and getting people to come to church. That's just on the inside of them. You know what? It's just on the inside of him. And you know what people do? They take of that fruit that grows out of this man's life. And they get to eat of it. And there's people that are hurting and that are broken. And they come. And they rest. They rest. In the shade. They rest under the branches. They find a place of security. They find a place of peace. They find a place of love. Because he's planted God's word in his heart. And he's grown. Amen. How many of you know that's for all of us? That's for all of us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, this is where I wish I'd get these illustrations ahead of time. I'd had a ladder about 6 foot high and him standing on top. And then, no. How many of you know that's what God has for us? Amen? It's a quarter after already. I've gone way longer than I thought I would. But I believe you've received. How many of you know if we never accept the fact that we're sufficient, and if we never accept the fact that we're qualified, our growth is going to be radically hindered. Amen? It can really hinder our growth because we'll just end up thinking, I got nothing to offer. I got nothing to give. Amen? Hallelujah. How many of you in here have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Okay, and I got a little bit into that. How many of in here have sinned? That's one way to do this. Get your hand up and then just get you to keep it there. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is one way and one way only that sin gets removed. There's only one. And it's a free gift. It doesn't cost anybody, anything. You know, it's funny. People, well, I want it my way. Well, you know what? This is God's deal. And he's going to have it his way. Burger King does not have a market on this. You know, go into an American Burger King restaurant and hand them some Mexican money and see if you can get your food. No, 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 no. Wrong currency. How many people are trying to get into heaven their way? Don't get so mad at God because he gave you a free gift. And all you got to do is accept it. If you're in this place, you know you've sinned. But have you come to Jesus and Jesus, you know, I believe that when you died on that cross, you were made my sin. And in you, I'm forgiven. In you, I'm sanctified. In you, I qualify. Jesus, I need you to forgive me. I need you to be my Lord and Savior. Amen. If you're in this place and you have never done that, and let me share something with you. If you've really done that, you know it. How many of you think of your favorite movie star? How many of you got a favorite movie star? How many of you got a favorite singer in a rock and roll band? How many of you got a favorite whatever, favorite teacher? If you got to meet that person, would you forget it? No, you'd remember it. Man, yeah, you know who I got to meet? Wow! For me, the guy that I want to meet, you know, in history, is George Washington Carver. When you read his life, a fascinating man of God, a fascinating man. I'd love to meet him. I guarantee you, if I ever got to meet him, which I will one day when I get to heaven, Diane, I might go, you know who I just got to meet? I just got to meet George. I mean, you wouldn't forget. If you've met Jesus, you're not going to forget him. Amen? So if you're here going, I think, maybe, I hope. How many of you know it goes way beyond that? Yeah, I met Jesus. I remember the day. I remember the place. Amen? So if you're here and you've never had that experience, today when we pray for people at the altar, you're free to come on up. In fact, you're invited. Amen. And if the worship team will come on up and lets the rest of us stand. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you got blessed today, turn and give somebody a hug and say, yep, I got blessed today. Amen. Love on them a little bit. You don't get to go anywhere yet. You don't get to leave yet. Just minutes away. But if I can get the prayer team to come on up, we always end our services with prayer, praying for people. So those folks that pray for people, come on up. You know, not just these guys, but there's a lot of people in this church that God works through and fruit flows through. These folks up here, God works through them. If you need something, you need a word of encouragement, you need, you know, healing in your body, you need just whatever you might need, don't hesitate. Come and partake of the fruit that grows in people's lives, amen, at the end of this service. And if you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, just slip on up here with everybody else that comes up and get to know Jesus. Meet Him. Amen? Amen. Let Him be the Lord and Savior of your life. So let's go ahead and pray. Amen? Father God, I just thank You for this time. I thank You for today. I thank You for the goodness and the truth of Your Word. I thank You for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we just ask the Holy Spirit to move right now in people's hearts. Right now. And Father, I don't know, you know, I don't know if anybody in here has not said yes to Jesus. But if there's somebody in here and they are yet to ask Jesus Christ to forgive them and to proclaim Him and declare Him as their Lord and Savior, Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit talk to their heart right now and reveal to their heart the truth of who Jesus is. And then they just slip out of their spot and come on up here and meet Jesus. And then, Father God, I pray also for people that have need of healing in their body. People that are looking for comfort and peace and direction in life. That they also would just be bold enough to come forward and to partake. Come forward and just to receive. Father, thank You for the Word and thank You for each person here. And as we go about our day, we go with You. We walk with You. We fellowship with You. We thank You for loving us so much. We worship You and praise You in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. 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 Praise God. So, worship team, if you would, please, and you want prayer, come on up. Amen.